Here we go, direct from Boston, Massachusetts. Ed Kowalczyk, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you.
Man, thanks for calling in. And we are celebrating, can you believe it, 25 years of Throwing Copper, this incredible album, which came out in a period of time that was so much change in music back then, wasn't there?
Absolutely, yeah. We've been talking about that a lot, just how many great records came out that year and years around that. It was just a really exciting time.
So it was April 94. You're about to play Woodstock 94, and we'll get to that a bit later on because there's a bonus with this re-release of Throwing Copper,
yeah,
where you've got, you know, eight tracks performing in front of this massive crowd of Woodstock. But this was his second album. I mean, and no one seems to remember the first album, do they?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because the second album, Throwing Copper, was such a massive success that, I mean, there are people to this day that think that aren't aware that Mental Jewelry was before it.
No. And I mean, you didn't have the problem of having the difficult second album, which is normally the problem. You know, you had the incredible incredibly successful second album, which is great.
Yeah.
Tell me about the lead up to this album, because you went from sort of performing very, very small shows, and this is the album which took you to the world pretty much.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was an incredible few years there, you know, leading up to it. I mean, we signed our record contract. We were 20 years old, you know, made Mental Jewelry. I believe we were 21, and then, you know, toured a lot for that record. And we felt like it was really successful and just, you know, back to the drawing board to make another album. We weren't, you know, quite sure what to do. And, you know, we had kind of, Chad and I were sitting around. We kind of discovered our you know, guitar sound kind of by accident, just kind of like turning things up and going like, how can we play with this dynamic? And I started, you know, I was still sort of just fledging around, learning to write songs. And we had a blank slate, you know, but we had all the passion to get in there and make it happen. And, by the time, you know, 94 rolled around, we were at it again. And, by 95, I guess, you know, I mean, as far as the success in the States, you know, Lightning Crashes came out, about a year later. And then it was like just it seemed like we were just everywhere, you know, all of a sudden.
And you look back now and you go over the stats particularly and you go 22 million albums. I mean, that's just huge. And back then when people bought albums, that was a big difference to streaming these days as well. I mean, that's just incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's hard to, you know, even calculate anymore, you know, because the music business has changed so much. But it's incredible. And, you know, the fact that people are still so interested in it, and it's still a record that people go to. Of course, there's a nostalgia aspect of it, but it's still a really interesting record. And it's still, you know, I still love to play the songs, and we're on tour now and having a blast.
And are you doing this sort of a Throwing Copper tour where you play the album in full and sort of rediscovering some of those tracks that are further down the album you may not have played probably ever?
Well, you know, we are, yeah. Technically, we are celebrating the Throwing Copper 25th anniversary, but and then we play probably 8 or 9 tracks from the album, but we don't play the record completely. I mean, we wanted to make sure our show, you know, kind of touched on, you know, all the albums. And yeah, we get into some deep cuts. We play, you know, we play TBD every once in a while. We play Shit Town every night, and we play, you know, a lot of these ones that people, you know, weren't the singles but they're really popular with the fans. Like I said, the Center of Gravity is Throwing Copper, but we try to build a show that gets everywhere, you know?
Well, a few weeks ago, we got sent, for the first time, we played it on air, Hold Me Up. And it's funny, when I press play on it, it just sounds like a Throwing Copper song. And live developed over the years. I mean, Throwing Copper had one sound, and Secret Samadhi had a sort of a different sound, a slightly darker and more refined sound. And Hold Me Up was a straight up Throwing Copper track, just up vibe, up tempo.
Absolutely.
And
well, it was recorded the same period. You know, that was, we recorded, I think, 17 songs for Throwing Copper. And that's my tour manager with my show closed for tonight, which I need. we recorded 17 songs. And Hold Me Up was one of those. And, you know, back in those days, you know, making a CD, you go, okay, there's only, 52 minutes of stereo music can go on this thing. So we made a sequence that we were really happy with, but we couldn't get everything on there. So I keep saying it was like a kind of like this year, like opening a time capsule from 1994, you know, going back and go, wow, this song is so great. And it's not even on the album, you know. So, but it's great to have the fans get to hear it now. It's obviously going to come out on the It's out on the 25th anniversary special remastered release that we did, and along with the other two, a song called We Deal in Dreams, and another one called Susquehanna, which is also an outtake from Throwing Copper.
And We Deal in Dreams was on the best of, sort of, which came out, I don't know,
it was,
many years later.
Right, this is the first time Hold Me Up has been out, released, though. Yeah.
And everyone forgets, especially the kids, that they don't know that vinyl was even more limited. You had to really choose your strong songs because you could fit even less. Because I think, from memory, the vinyl release was, it might have only been 11 tracks, I think, from memory or something like that.
I really, we did have to edit it, yeah. And, you know, it's amazing, too, you mentioned that vinyl, you know, it was such a sort of rarity kind of back then. But now it's like vinyl's up front as the main thing that we look at now when we put records out. It's like it's really come full circle, which is really exciting to be focusing on the vinyl. So almost exclusively now when you put the artwork together and stuff, because so many people are playing records again, and the vinyl industry is really exploding, and it's such a great thing for fans.
Now, last night I was immersing myself in the album, as you do, and I was actually quite amazed to find on Spotify there's some B-sides from this album which haven't actually been released as part of the deluxe edition, but there were B-sides off Lightning Crashes, I think. There was like Operation Spirit, Good Pain, Heaven Wore a Shirt, Negation. They're on Spotify as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because those songs you mentioned, they were actually on our first EP, which is really hard to find now. It was an EP called Four Songs, which actually came out before Mental Jewelry. So that would have come out in like late 1991. So that was actually outtakes from our first album, which again, with the super success of Throwing Copper, you know, y'all kind of get a little bit blurry as far as where everything came from. But yeah, those songs you mentioned were actually released before that. And I don't even know where that record, I mean, people like, talk to me all the time. I found one on eBay, you know, because it's like really rare.
Very rare by the sound of it. Wow, that's amazing. Look, and let's talk about Woodstock 94, because that was, I guess, what you were building to that particular year. And it was my first experience hearing live. I mean, I think I heard it all over you a few times on the radio, but when I went out and saw the videos, obviously, on MTV or whatever it was, and then bought the Woodstock 94 album, which was incredible. Like, all these bands were just developing to their peak. Like, there was Live, there was Chili Peppers, Green Day, Collective Soul, the Cranberries. You know, it was such an incredible lineup, and all those bands went on from there to bigger and better things.
Absolutely, yeah. It really is incredible to see, to look at, you know, like the posters from that, and to realize how many great bands, you know, that some that were established, but some that were, like you said, like, you know, like us, that were really at the sort of cusp of becoming world famous and all over. And it is, so we record, we actually, that whole show was multi-tracked. And so segue into, you know, the part B of our 25th anniversary edition here of Throwing Copper, Chad Taylor, our guitar player, actually mixed and, produced that recording. So we have our 1994 Woodstock recording on vinyl as a part of the release. That's super exciting.
That's amazing. And it would have been so incredible to actually relive the concert in real time, because you would have had the multi-track, and you could have heard the crowd noise, which was deafening. It was incredible.
Totally. Yeah, he had a great time. We had a really good time overall, just going back there and looking through all the old pictures and getting all that recording together. It's been a real trip.
Let me play some audio. I dug this out from the CD release.
Woodstock! Come on, Woodstock! Woodstock! Woodstock 94! Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, from Pennsylvania, live!
Describe that. You're coming out on the stage, you're seeing a sea of people. It would have created its own ecosystem. There were so many people, and it was about to pour down with rain. You had storms coming, and what was that like?
Oh, man, it was so amazing. It was such a blur, though, because we were so wound up. You know, the adrenaline is just firing, and then they had this, like, this circular stage. So when that guy was, like, screaming, we were, like, spinning, you know, slowly around. And,
you were on one of those carousel-type setups.
Yeah, and I remember spinning around and starting to see the crowd and going, like, okay, I hope we're good. Get it together, boys, you know. Okay.
Oh, it would have been amazing. And, of course, you know, like later on, people got showered with mud. I think it might have been the Chili Peppers, I think.
Yeah.
And grass and everything. I mean, it would have been amazing. But now, that month, okay, so Throwing Copper came out late April. Kurt Cobain passed away April 5. And how did that change the music scene for you that month? You're obviously torn with emotions because your album's about to come out.
Absolutely. It was just a really crazy time in general. You know, it was just so much passion and all the music and all the bands that we were surrounded by. And of course, Nirvana was a huge part of all of our success at that time, you know, not just live, because they really, you know, broke open the radio waves for bands that were, you know, making music that was left of center, alternative, yeah, you know, not right. Your typical rock and roll. And so we owed them a huge debt of gratitude, you know, and still do, for doing that. And, it was a wild time, man. It was, reliving it, getting to do all these mixes, and of course celebrating it on tour is pretty powerful.
Oh, I bet. Actually, I got up early when you guys got back together as a band with the full lineup. I think it would have been New Year's Eve, not last year, but the year before. And as a live fan, we're also passionate to get this live stream. I think it was from Pennsylvania, wasn't it? That we had your New Year's Eve countdown?
It was, yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was actually in our hometown of York. Yeah, we not just a few blocks away from where, you know, our studio is, and my old stomping grounds and our old stomping grounds as kids, you know, and a venue called the Valencia Ballroom, which has been there since the 20s. I mean, Frank Sinatra played there, like this incredible old venue that's still there.
Yeah, wow.
We actually, you know, leased it out and set it up, and then invited a bunch of fans sort of last minute to come in. And that was the first, yeah, that was our first show back in about six, 7 years apart. And then we just, we later that year, we headed right into it and started to play festivals right away. And here we are still, like, what, 3 years later, and we're still at it.
I had friends sending me sort of little teasers from your Facebook, I think it was leading up to that, and also afterwards, and they were like, what does this mean? Is Ed back with the band? And it must have been really, really good to get back with a family, you know, after being doing it solo for so long and getting over all the niggle and all the other BS, you know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, such a relief and just such a pleasure, you know. We're still just riding this amazing wave of just gratitude and love for each other on stage. We have incredible musicians with us as well, not just the four of us. We have Clint Simmons is our new percussionist on tour. He plays amazing stuff up there and really adds to the band's sound. And then we have, of course, Zach Loy, who was my guitar player when I was solo. He's a second guitarist on stage. He's amazing. And so we have this, like, you know, we have this old new version of the band. It's kind of like souped up version of live, and we're having a blast.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And it was so good to see you in Sydney last year. You guys looked like you were having fun. It was one of my first shows where I got to sort of be in the pit and photograph a band. And I got some great shots, by the way, because, you know, the thing about a big show is the lighting is amazing. It makes so much of a difference. But you guys look like you were just having fun and being on tour.
We are, man. Like I said, it was just, it's been since the day we got back together, just a heck of a ride, you know, and so grateful to be back together. And there's a level of confidence, I think, in the band that really wasn't there years ago. You know, it's almost better than ever in a way, you know, just real more mature kind of, we kind of figured out how to be a band better. You know what I mean? Just the space you need and the pace you need to keep just to stay excited about it. So hopefully we've learned a little bit.
Now tell us about Kevin Smith. Now, Kevin, you know, if the audience doesn't remember, he was behind so many great iconic movies of the 90s, you know.
Yeah.
Starting off with there was Chasing Amy, and there was, oh God, well, he first approached you to have the song, which was re-released, Hold Me Up. He was approaching you for Mallrats, which was a great movie. You said no, fair enough, because it was unreleased. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, he asked again, and then finally he got his way, I think, for Zach and Miri Make a Porno 10 years later.
Yeah, he kept asking. I was like, hey, we got to give it to this guy. He won't stop.
Wow.
Nah, yeah, it was great. He's awesome. And yeah, so people are saying they're picking apart, saying, oh, well, it was out, but it was in a movie. Yeah, but it wasn't released. Like, you couldn't. So fans were like, when can I get my hands on it so I can, like, have, like, a good copy and audio will be good and all that. And so, technically speaking, it was out on a movie soundtrack of Zach and Miri Make a Porno, but it wasn't on the soundtrack or anything. So, that's the backstory of that one.
Well, that makes it really special. It is a great song, and it's so great to have these unreleased songs as part of this celebration of Throwing Copper 25 years. You've got 17 tracks, and then you've got the Woodstock 94. Nine songs previously unreleased, apart from, you know, being on TV for a bit.
Yeah.
It's an incredible collection for live fans. And look, is there a chance of you coming back to Australia soon?
Absolutely, man. I mean, we're always gunning to get back to Australia. And right now we have the rest of this year, really into October, I believe this tour, we're with Bush right now. Actually, they're also celebrating their 25th anniversary of 16 Stone Records. So we're out with them through the end of October at this point. And then we'd like to get back in the studio and make some new music. But yeah, man, Australia is always top of the list of where we're going. So we'll stay tuned and we'll keep you posted. But I'm sure it won't be too long.
Yeah, I'm sure too. It's usually every couple of years and we're bloody hoping.
Ed Kowalczyk. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time, and make sure you get it on pre-order now. Live 25 years of Throwing Copper, and it is out in July. Mike, thanks for your chat.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.